verse 18. I'll read orally, you read silently. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you. As I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee, and will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, Pass through the host, and command the people, saying, Prepare you victuals. For within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to half the tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, Remember the word which Moses the servant of the Lord commanded you, saying, The Lord your God has given you rest and given you this land. Verse 16. And they answered Joshua, saying, All that thou commanded us we will do, and whatsoever thou sendest us we will go, according as we have hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words, and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. God bless you. You may be seated. I want to talk to you today from a subject, how vision is developed. How vision is developed. This will be the final message in our development series, and we trust to have the whole entire series available for you once we make the proper necessary duplications and go from there. How does God develop vision? Writing notes, take this down. Number one, vision is developed from hearing. Verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, The manifestation of vision is based solely upon your ability to hear from God. So if you have a vision, God's given you a personal vision for your personal life. We have a vision for this church where we're going. The ability to have that vision develop is based solely upon your ability to hear from God. Everybody follow me. Therefore, visionary leaders must be able to hear from God consistently. We serve a God that is consistently moving and releasing direction, information, and wisdom concerning his plan for the local church that he has given us the oversight of. If you do not have an appetite or a sensitivity to hear from God, you'll consistently miss the movement of God. So when you miss the movement of God, beloved, you miss the blessings of God. So if God's telling you and talking you and teaching you to move and to go this way and to go that way and to do this and do that, and if you're not sensitive to the voice of God, you miss the movement of God. When you miss the movement of God, you miss the blessings of God. Am I doing all right? Y'all awake this morning? When you miss the blessings of God, because you have to understand that wherever the presence of the Lord is and the Spirit of the Lord is, there's always blessing and there's always favor. I want to sound the alarm this morning and say that we're living in an hour where it's crucial that we hear from God. And I want you to understand that you're connected to a leader that is able to consistently hear from God concerning the direction of this church. Amen. Why? Because your blessings are often connected to your leader's ability to hear. Amen. So when it comes to corporate blessings, the corporate blessings of this church is not necessarily dependent upon you as much as it's dependent upon me. But if you're connected to me and you're connected to what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, you're connected and you will be blessed. And so as we examine this text, we see that Joshua was able to be sensitive to the voice of God. It's not only important that I hear corporately, but it's also important that you hear individually concerning the direction for your personal life so that they both can link up and can support one another. You see, God has given you a vision for your personal life, and He's given me a vision for the corporate church, and together they mesh, and together we work together and we fulfill it. That's why it's important, beloved, that you come into agreement with the Word of God and sharpen your ability to hear from God so you don't miss the movement. Tell your neighbor, don't miss the movement. Number two, if you're taking down notes, is vision is developed from movement. Look at verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan. You cannot develop vision unless you're willing to move. Amen. Movement requires planning. Amen. Planning requires thought. Thought requires action. And action produces results. So if you want to move God, you have to move. And in order to move, you got to plan. How are you going to get from point A to point B? And so as you plan, you got to think about what you're doing. And your thought process produces action, because after you plan and after you think out of what you're going to do, then you got to take some steps of faith. And as you take those steps of faith, it produces results. Listen to this. In order for Joshua and the children of Israel to move into the land of Canaan, they had to cross the Jordan River. That's what the Bible says. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan. Crossing the Jordan was not easy. It was filled with obstacles and challenges. Every one of y'all have probably seen the James River, and you know how wide the James River is from the shoreline to the other shoreline. Well, the Jordan River was similar. It stretched maybe about 90 to 100 miles probably. So they had to cross this Jordan River, and it was filled with challenges. And so many people do not fulfill their God-given vision because they're unwilling to face the obstacles and challenges that are part of the process of fulfilling what God has called them to do. Joshua had the burden and the responsibility of leading the children of Israel across the Jordan. Knowing the conditions of the river, its hazards, its cold temperatures, but none of that caused Joshua to detour what God had called him to do. And so if you're going to move after the vision and after what God has given you, you got to be willing to move despite what's in front of you. You got to put your confidence in God, and you got to trust God all the way through, and you got to believe God. I was sharing with somebody that, you know, as we were developing this project, that, you know, we had to make decisions per se without finance. But decisions still had to be made. And we couldn't let the decisions that needed to be made halt the process of what God wanted to do. You guys are sitting in here today under cool air-conditioned carpet on the floor, nice chairs, drums, and all this stuff set up. But everything wasn't there when we started this. I share, y'all probably hear this as long as you're a part of this church. When I started pastoring, me and my wife had nothing. We had no money. We had enough money to rent the gymnasium where we started at. And we started there with $300 and some of what it costed per week to be in that gym. And God blessed that Sunday with over $600 in tithes and offering. And we have not looked back since. Come on, give God some praise. See, you got to be willing to move, church, despite obstacles and despite things that are in your way. I can remember Monday morning before there was paint on the walls and while the carpet was bare and while most of you were probably in your bed sleeping, I was right back in that room praying because we didn't have the finances that we needed to get this carpet down, yet I knew we needed to get it down. And so we prayed and we beseeched God and we asked God to provide. And by the time the bill came due for the carpet, the finances were there. Amen. I'm trying to tell you and I'm trying to teach you, church, if you're going to move with God and you're going to move in the things of God and move according to the plan of God, you got to be willing to move despite obstacles and despite things that the enemy will put in your way. Ask your neighbor, what's stopping you from producing what God has given you? Come on, ask your neighbor, what's stopping you from producing what God has given you? Because obviously the devil has put something in your way to stop you from producing what God has called you to do. And if you're not willing to take those challenges and negotiate those tough times, then you'll never fulfill your God-given purpose. Anybody in this house want to fulfill their God-given purpose? I want to fulfill my God-given purpose, and I'm not going to let the devil or obstacles or traps or shortbacks or shortcomings stop me from doing that. Number 3 in verse number 10, vision is developed by others. The Bible says, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, pass through the host and command the people saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over the Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. Listen to this. God associates vision with people. Now, let me tell you how God works. Although God only gives the vision to one person, at the same token, he fixes it so he or she cannot carry it out alone. So God gives me a vision, but at the same token, I can't carry it out by myself. And so he gives you people to help fulfill the manifestation that he's given you. But it takes a skilled visionary to get the people to help him or her fulfill the vision or destiny that God has given them. You see, there are many people in the body of Christ with the vision. But it depends upon the leader's ability to develop the people that God has given or that he will send. And so, beloved, by the language of this text, we find that Joshua understood this and strategically developed the people around him that would assist him in leading the organization into their land of promise. For those of you that don't know, the children of Israel had multiplied to well over 1 million people. That's a pretty large church. And so Joshua not only had the personal responsibility of taking them from the wilderness into the land of Canaan, he also had the personal responsibility to develop the people that God had sent him to help him fulfill their God-given purpose. Now God, write this down if you're taking notes. God will send every leader 4 basic types of people. As this church grows, even in this church now, we've got 4 basic types of people. Leaders, workers, givers, and supporters. Pastor, what are leaders? Leaders are people that there are 2 types of leaders. First of all, God will send qualified and proven leaders. In other words, people that have leadership ability, then their leadership skills and their abilities have been proven already. They may have served in the corporate arena. They may have spent time in the military. They understand leadership and they have the ability to lead. They already have it when they walk through the doors. Then God will also the visionary will have to sometimes see the potential in others that are connected to him under there and extract their purpose and develop them for a place of authority within the organization that they oversee. And so right now, as the senior pastor of this church, in a lot of you, I see leadership potential. You're not proven leaders yet. You follow me? But I see your leadership potential. And so it's up to me as to whether or not I develop that potential to help me fulfill what God's called me to do. Leaders. Number two is workers. Workers are not leaders. They're good followers. Everybody understand the difference? They may not oversee an area of ministry or desire to manage an auxiliary, but they're willing to work in a specific area of the vision. They're sent from God, and their desire is to perfect the area of ministry in which they serve. And so God will send visionaries, workers, that they don't want to lead, they don't have the desire to lead, but they'll work in something that's established. Like children's ministry, praise dance ministry, music ministry, sound ministry, security ministry. They don't want to lead those auxiliaries, but they'll get involved and they'll help with fulfilling that vision. They're workers. Next is givers. As God develops the vision and it continues to develop, God will send the visionary givers. Now, givers may possess the ability to lead and work, but they normally don't, because that's not what they're anointed to do, although they can do that. Their primary responsibility is to give. God's anointed them to give. And so as this church grows, God will just send us givers. They're not going to get in any auxiliary. They're not going to help on the drums. They're not going to help LeVar. They're not going to get involved in security. But when it comes time, pastors say, I need $50,000. They say, Pastor, we'll take care of that. Amen. Y'all follow me? Amen. How many of y'all would like to be anointed to be a giver? Amen. Hallelujah. Where you just, that's what God's anointed you to do. He's provided you with excess and increase, and that's what you do. You give unto the work of the ministry because that's your position and that's your purpose. And finally, there are supporters. Supporters are similar to givers. They may possess leadership abilities. They may be great workers, but their primary function is support. They may not get involved in areas of the ministry, but you can count on them to occupy a pew. And sometimes you just need good supporters. You know, they don't do anything, don't say a whole lot, but you can count on them being there Sunday and Wednesday. They say amen every time pastor preaches something good. They support you. They do anything. They're known as supporters. So those are the four basic types of people that God will give. Am I doing all right? Amen. Now, as I prepare to come to a close, this is the first door. The last area that God develops vision is through trust. Let's look at verse 16 through 18. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commanded us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. And as according as we have hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doeth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words, and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. In other words, they had Joshua's back to the point that they said, man of God, if you get any haters, we're going to kill them for you. You don't even have to worry about it, because we have trust in you. It's been developed over a period of time, and we'll take care of your dirty work. When y'all were growing up, you had people that just, you know, they was with you, they was your stick partners, they was your boys or whatever, but you told your partners, man, take care of my light work. Y'all act like you're not from the block and you don't understand where I'm coming from. Y'all, you stand on the block and, you know, you had a little guy trying to do a little something, and you tell your man, say, man, go take care of him. Man, I got your light work. And that's what God does. Now write this down. The foundation of leadership is trust. Even though the children of Israel had yet to cross the Jordan and enter into the land of Canaan, they trusted Joshua that the God in him would not fail. Although they were faced with insurmountable challenges to inherit the promised land. Because when we read this text, they had yet to go over the Jordan. And they had yet to cross into the land of Canaan, but they had trust in their leader. Are you listening to me? So it's inevitable, church, at this stage, you begin to trust in my leadership. You may not understand where we're going or how we're going to get there. As a matter of fact, that's not even your responsibility, because inevitably the vision rests on my shoulders. God shared something very powerful with me before I start pastoring. And when I used to preach for my former pastor and in other areas of ministry, where, you know, we'd be preaching the word of faith and we'd be decreeing and declaring. But God stopped me one day and he said, you know, the burden and the responsibility of that vision is not on your shoulders. So inevitably, what you're doing is you're just preaching something by knowledge and not by experience. You're listening to me closely. Because we had not experienced what that leader was experiencing when it came to developing and making something happen. All we were was just standing behind preaching something that was already established. And so you have to understand, church, that as a man of God, you have to trust in me. We trust in our doctors. Hello, Pastor. Our supervisors, our bankers, people we deal with on a day-to-day basis without hesitation, then we also should be able to trust in our leaders, our visionaries, our man and woman of God that have been anointed to lead us into the land that flows with milk and honey. When we continue to grow, what will happen, church, is we will actually develop a partnership. Because Joshua had developed a partnership with the children of Israel. They trusted Joshua, and Joshua trusted them. Are you listening to me closely? I believe that my wife and I have been proven trustworthy to this congregation that we lead and serve. You can trust us. I got one amen. The rest of y'all ain't sure about that. I said, maybe you don't believe that. But I believe that we've proven ourselves worthy to this congregation that we serve and that we lead. You can trust us. You can trust our character. You can trust our integrity. You can trust our decisions that they're made with the highest level of discretion in the best interest of God, the direction he's taken us, and for the betterment of this church. Amen. Now, I said that trust is a partnership. Now, y'all can trust us. Can we trust you? Can we trust you that you're going to operate in the same level of integrity outside of our presence, conducting yourself in a manner that represents Christ, your pastor in this church? You're not going to see your pastor in the club. Preach, pastor. You're not going to see your first lady at the swimsuit party shaking her rump the shaker. Hello. Y'all mighty quiet. You're not going to see us, walking in the 7-Eleven, buying lotto tickets and smoking cigarettes and smoking chronic. Come on. Oh, man. Getting mighty quiet in here. Why? Because we conduct ourselves in a manner that represents Christ, represents this church in your presence and outside of your presence. So if you see me at Blockbusters, it's the same as if you see me in church.
That's right.
If you see First Lady in Food Line or at the shopping mall, just like you seen her in church. She's not going to be ducking and dieting because she's trying to pass somebody her cell phone number.
Come on.
Oh, Lord. I ain't getting a whole lot of amens here. So you can trust us. My question to you today is, can we trust you like you trust us? Can we trust that you'll pay your tithe? Oh, Pastor. I say, can we trust that you'll pay your tithe?
Amen.
And you'll help support this church financially?
Amen.
Can we trust that you'll live a level and a lifestyle of integrity? Because this have got to be a partnership. The children of Israel would have had no right to kill or rebel anybody that rebelled against the commandments of God or the commandments of Joshua if they were living a hypocritic lifestyle. How are you going to tell somebody about tithing and being faithful in church and you not faithful in church and you not tithing? Because that makes you look like a hypocrite. So their trust validated their ability to kill because they were living out the commandments of God and the commandments of their leader. I'm going to close with this, my second door. These three statements. You can trust God to develop the vision and bring the things to pass which he has spoken to your leader. You can trust that. God's going to do it. This is just the beginning. We want to get on the other side of this building. We want to have seating for at least 130 people. You can trust God to do that. You can trust your leaders to exercise the highest level of character and integrity concerning our personal lives and the business of this church. But my final question is, can God trust you? Stand to your feet. You're in here today. Perhaps you're not saved. You don't know the Lord. You want to give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor, I've been flipping and slipping and sliding. I'm not saved. I don't know God. I just put on a church face and play a game week after week, month after month. But today I want to give my heart to the Lord. If you'd be so kind to meet me at the front of this altar, and we'll introduce you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Will there be one today that wants to be saved? Perhaps you're visiting this church and you say, Pastor, I want to make Next Generation Family Worship Center my home. I've been searching for a church. I've been searching for a place where I can connect and where I can give my tithe and offering and have a pastor and first lady that cares about me greatly. If that